John, would y'all mind if I came down here with you a little bit? I feel stuck up. No, that thing is high up there. I like it. I love it. I do. I really like it, and it's beautiful, but I want to be down here where I can look you eyeball to eyeball. Because what I have to say to you tonight is not about the great big things. This scripture is very well known. This passage in the scripture is preached on a regular basis. Probably at least once a year you hear someone preach about it. But I don't want to preach about the big things of the word tonight. I want to preach about the little ones that are missed. Because there's such a wealth in these first four verses that is always passed right over. We never really understand what we've read until we get to the end when Jesus says, anybody that's really going to truly worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. And all of that is amazing and all of that is great. And every one of you can probably quote that verse with me with your eyes closed. But there's more to it than that. John chapter 4, verse 5. Then cometh he, and he is Jesus. If you back up just those four verses and read, you'll find it's Jesus we're talking about. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. We're going to talk about Jacob's well a little bit. It's kind of an interesting place, Jacob's well. How many of y'all really know about Jacob's well? It's only mentioned here in the Word of God, in the Gospels. Nowhere else. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. And you'd think since Jacob is an Old Testament personality, maybe it was mentioned back then. But it's not. And there's a reason for that. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. In my Bible, that's in parentheses. Have you ever wondered why that's a side thought? We'll talk about it in a minute. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman? Notice how she states it. She states two facts right here. I am a woman of Samaria. Women never talked to men openly in this day we're talking about. It was forbidden. And a Jew would never talk to a Samaritan, period, let alone a Samaritan woman. Thank God that Jesus came the way he did. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, if I'm going to build a title tonight, it's out of the 11th verse, and we're not going to read any further. And some of you are going to think that I have missed something greatly. But if you'll hold on with me for just a minute, you're going to find out that your eyes need to be open to something far greater than just the end of this passage of Scripture. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Will you bow your heads with me tonight? Father, thank you for your word, for it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, I ask you to anoint me to preach your word, simple, straight, and true. God, anoint this, your congregation, to not only hear your word, but to receive it and to put it in action in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. If I was to title this message tonight, it would be Drawing for the Master. You see, what always puzzled me and what always really drove me nuts about this story is Jesus says to this woman, give me something to drink. The very next thing we see in this passage of Scripture is, sir, how be it that you're a Jew and I'm a woman of Samaria? If you take a look, you never really do find that in the Word of God it says that she gave him something to drink. However, let's watch that verse 11 real carefully. Should have never closed my Bible. Woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You know what the custom in that day was that if there was a traveler that had a request that was simply fillable by your hand, you filled it. I believe before she ever spoke a word to Jesus, she let down that skin on that rope and drew up cool, fresh water and gave it to him. Why do you believe that? For two reasons. One, it was the custom. About 90 years ago in the United States of America, we had several customs. If you saw a hitchhiker, you picked him up. Well, we don't do that today. We had a lot more customs than that. If there was a family in need within the church, the very first thing the church did was the ladies. Ladies, y'all are beautiful. I love you. I just love you so much. I'm glad you had us in. I'm glad you're here. But the ladies would get together and make sure that every need of every family was met, as much as within their ability. You know, the church don't do that anymore. And the reason we don't do it is because we're just robbed of time. Because everywhere we turn, our time is required. That's why we've all got these dumb phones. Well, most people call them smart, but I feel pretty dumb when I use mine, let me tell you. That's why we have these things, to make our lives easier and to make it to where we're more productive. Amen? But somehow in all of this technology that we've gotten ourselves into, we've learned how to cut each other out. I believe before the first word was spoke, she let down her skin and drew up fresh water for Jesus. Watch this. If she had refused, he would have never stayed. Because Jesus was a gentleman. But in the willingness to help out a stranger, and even see his clothes betrayed him, a Jew, then to kind of crack that half smile that I believe she had on her face, that inquisitive look of, what in the world are you thinking, man? Are you off your rocker? How is it that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? And here I am, a Samaritan, woman, and you ask me something to drink. What I've found through my life is when I draw for the Master first, my needs are quickly met. I'm going to say that one more time because it's worth your whole evening. When I draw for the Master first, my needs are quickly met. How many of y'all knew I was in the hospital in January? How many of y'all knew I was back in the hospital for another week in February? Most of you did not. I didn't make it real common knowledge. Didn't want anybody to know. For two reasons. I've got a lot of pastor friends that watch that Facebook pretty close when it comes to DHM Ministries. And friends, I was laying in bed with pneumonia that I'm still trying to get over. And I had no strength to talk to anybody. took 3 weeks just to get my strength back. I was off work for four solid weeks. I don't know about you, but I know that for my wife and I, we actually have bills. And I know that we like to get our bills paid on time. Not early. On time. Because sometimes God's not early. Last year, we were blessed in the ministry team to donate some sound equipment to some churches that couldn't afford to buy their own. And I say all that because before they even spoke the need, they had the equipment, right? Everywhere Vic and I go, God will just lay something on my heart. Give this church that. Give this church that. And I give it. Matthew gets sick of me giving because we're always buying equipment. But I'm drawn for the master first. Two weeks ago, we were sitting at home. We didn't expect anything but bills. And I got an envelope, and I opened that envelope, and from a church in southern Iowa that loves us very much, it was a $500 check. I didn't ask for a dime. But it went straight to bills. And friends, here's what I know about the Lord. He's no respecter of persons. What he does for me, he will do for you. But the problem is we're so busy trying to run a well around and drink from everybody else's well, we're not sitting at the well with the master like we should be. And we certainly aren't drawing for him first. When I was a kid and I was taught how to pay my tithe, I was taught that the tithe came off the top. There was a reason for that. Because whether you knew it or not, back then when you were taught those things, you were drawing for the master first. Well, Brother Mike, I don't have any money. I'm not taking up an offering. If your pastor wants to, that's up to him. I'm not. I don't do that. Sister Victoria, how many times have you ever heard me beg for money? And you won't. Unless, God forbid, I fall off the deep end somewhere. Because that happens to people. I don't know where some people go wrong, but they just do. I know this. My prayer for this ministry team is that we never have to beg a church for money. We're able to go everywhere we go on faith, knowing that God will meet the need. When I had the heart attack, we had $32,000 of medical bills come in, and I couldn't work for 6 months. We didn't travel as heavily then as we have in the last year. I preached the last half of last year like this. That was something. We actually planned a week break, and a pastor walks up to me on a Saturday and said, "We're opening in revival next Friday. Can you come and do all the music for it?" Sure. You know what I found out? I preached revival after revival with bronchitis and pneumonia. I preached revival after revival so sick within my body I could barely stand behind the pulpit. But you know what I found out through the years? When I give to God everything I've got and Him first, every other aspect of my life is blessed. Some of you have been wandering around. It feels like you've just been stuck in a corner praying, and your prayers get no further than right there. I love being stuck in the corner when I was a kid. I'd take my crayons. Till Mama found it out. And then I found the ink pen, and I found the worst one I ever found. Lord have mercy. Dad had permanent paint markers. I could entertain myself in a corner for hours, and believe me, friends, I spent plenty of time in one. But that's how we feel when we're praying sometimes, that we're just praying in a corner and our prayer goes nowhere. And the question isn't whether or not God's listening. You always have Daddy's ear. I'll say it again. The question is not whether or not God's listening. You always have Daddy's ear. But the problem is that you become so distracted by everything that's around you. You're no longer drawing for the master first. You're just giving everything else your attention and God the leftovers. You know what happens when we give God the leftovers? He blesses them and feeds 5,000. You know what happens when we give God the first fruits? He blesses us. I'm going to say that one more time. When you give God the leftovers, He blesses it and He feeds 5,000. When you give God the first, He blesses you. Oh, man, Pastor Ron, I can't put it any plainer than that. So Jesus sits and talks with this lady. As I begin to study out the fact that Jacob's well was there, and it made no sense that it was there because there's streams, there's rivers, there's tributaries, there's springs all over this area where the well's at. Clean, fresh water. We're talking 3,000 years ago. Jacob digged down 135 feet deep, 7.5 feet wide to build this well. Only a stranger in a land that was never meant to stay there would make such a foolish, foolish venture. Jesus sits down. You know why Jesus sat down, Matthew? He was tired, and it was hot. And he's looking down over that well. Now, this is Jesus. I mean, come on. He could have spoke it and it would have been. But he's looking down over that well, and I believe he's going, I remember what you said when you hit that rock, Jacob. And as he's looking over that well, here comes this lady. Nobody wanted. Here comes this lady that had such a reputation, she couldn't even hang out with the normal people. Here comes this lady to where Jesus is just resting. You know what his mind was on? Man, that sure tastes good about now. And here comes this woman whose reputation was so vile that nobody would be seen with her. She had had 5 husbands, but we don't know how many children, Pastor. I mean, you would think in that day that with 5 husbands, you'd at least have one. Not only had 5 husbands, but the Bible says clearly in that the rest of that passage that the man she was living with wasn't even her husband. This woman had a reputation, and Jesus looked at her and said, if you knew who it was you were talking to, you would ask of me water. And I submit to you, church, one thing, and let me make it perfectly clear. When she drew from the water for the master first, she at that very point became more blessed than most of us will ever be in our lifetime. Amen. Because from that point to where Jesus really starts to minister her, to where she comes back with the man she's living with in half the countryside. To that point, and Jesus said, if you're really going to worship God, you got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe He put in step principles that are easily missed. You really want to worship God? Let me tell you how to do it. There are people here that entered a realm of worship tonight, and there are other people here that said, well, I don't feel anything, so I'm going home. Listen, if you waited for us to show up and tickle your fancies, y'all came to the wrong place. We are not entertainers. We're evangelists. We came to minister Jesus to you so that you can receive like that woman at the well received, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Then I like that next line. Shall men give? It doesn't say God will divinely, miraculously just manifest it. It says, shall men give? What if you are the answer to the people around you? But the reason you can't see it is because you forgot a simple principle. God first. My, that puts a whole different spin on things, don't it, church? From the point she drew for the master first until the end of their conversation, she was being fed and filled with living water, and she did not know it. Watch it. Watch it very carefully. This is Brother Mike paraphrase, but it's all right there. You go ahead and read on down to the 27th verse. You'll find it is so. She drew for the master. He told her who she was. Sin was exposed. See, in order for sin to be gotten rid of, it's got to be exposed. I don't believe we need to confess it to a priest, but we sure do need to confess it to the Lord.
Amen.
She drew for the master. Sin was exposed. You know what the next step was? He taught her how to worship. He gave her the river of living water, and she never knew what she had. How many of you have missed it in the Word? I did. I've read over that passage and preached from that passage at least once a year, and I missed it. This woman didn't just come and draw water and have a nice conversation. No, she came and she drew for the master and walked away healed, delivered, and set free. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm preaching to a church full of sinners. My goodness, there's 1,000 other places you could be on a Friday night. But I will say this. As surely as God gave me this message for tonight, because I believe I've got a whole briefcase full of sermons, okay? And I can preach any sermon anytime, but if it's not the right time, it's not the right sermon. So inasmuch as God ordained this word for tonight, there's a reason why you're here. Brother Mike, you don't know my situation. Friends, I'm going to tell you as politely as I can. I don't care about your situation. If you don't know Jesus, it'll never be met. My job is to tell you who Jesus is, because he does care. You see, in order for me to care about everything every one of you are going through, I'd have to have shoulders that are broader than mine are. I would have to have more ability than I do have. I'd have to have PhDs and doctorates to be able to deal with the psychiatric breakdown that I would be most certainly guaranteed to have. In saying that, I don't care about your situation, know this, I do care about you. And I want you to know something, my brother, my sister, every one of you. Jesus has not forgotten where you're at. His hand is not short, and his ear is not deaf to meet every need every one of you have. But you're never going to make it to where he's at just giving God the scraps.